Hi, and welcome to another episode of Policy Change in Practice. I'm John Wainwright, and today we're going to be talking about how you go about starting a nonprofit. And to talk about that, we're talking with someone who recently started one of their own, Aaron Briano. Thank you so much for joining us, Aaron.
Thank you, John, for having me. I love listening to you guys' discussions. They're very insightful. So
thank you.
Glad to be here today.
So let's go ahead and get started. Go ahead and tell us about your nonprofit. What is it? What's the name? What do you guys do?
All right, sure. So currently I'm in the process of developing a 501c3 nonprofit with the state of California. Primarily, the purpose of the program is to really enhance and promote a college-ready or college-going culture within the Central Valley, the California Central Valley, that being. And the name of the program is Inspire California. And it was initially started last year as just a community-based organization, and now we're looking to transition to official recognition from the state as a 501c3 nonprofit for a whole host of reasons I'm sure we'll get into shortly. But essentially, I was prompted to found this organization after reading a 2014 article in my hometown paper. That year, I was a third-year law school student here at McGeorge, and I happened to be home during the weekend, and I remember looking at the article, and it was on the front page of our local paper, and it highlighted the fact that the Central Valley in that specific region there was on the top 10 list of least educated regions in the entire nation. I was really shocked by that. Yeah, I was really shocked by that fact, because in knowing what I did know about California, us having the seventh largest global economy, having a whole host of really lucrative sectors like the tech sector and a whole host of other really just booming industries, I was really surprised that any region in California would make that list. So I thought about that for a little while. As you can imagine, you know, your third year of law school, you're really focused on your finalizing your outstanding, getting your yes any units. I was trying to get a whole host of legal clinic experience. That was taking a long time. I was interning with a nonprofit at the time, and I was, you know, getting ready to transition to bar study. So at that time, I really couldn't take the necessary steps I would need or allocate a lot of time to that endeavor.
For sure.
So I definitely put it on the back burner, but I never forgot that article. That was something that stuck with me for quite some time. And just remembering that I was part of that public school system, and remembering kids, you know, back in that region that I found, you know, were probably come across some of the same barriers that I did. So fast forward to my time in the legislature, now currently working in the California legislature and the state senate. And there I handle education issues for my state senator, and a whole host of those issues come up again. And again, I was looking at data that showed, again, that the Central Valley and other parts of the state, not just Central Valley. In fact, I work for State Senator Ben Wessa, who's chair of the Legislative Latino Caucus. And within his district in Imperial County, that is a region that has made the list in the past. So some of the same issues we faced in the Central Valley, I noticed were, again, apparent in his district. So as I started, again, to think about that and just how troubling that really was, I actually mentally had mentioned to myself, wow, somebody should do this. And when you just hear your internal voice, you know, somebody should do something about this. And then I was thinking, well, you know, maybe I should do something about this. So I started looking into initial steps. You know, what would it take to start working in this space? And initially, it was just, it was just an interest of mine that I started allocating time in the evenings and on the weekends to really look into this issue. And so I started, again, researching.
And where would folks go to, like, start looking at that? When you're switching from the idea phase to actually, okay, how do I go and make this thing happen? Where did you start looking when you were researching these things? Where do you start looking to figure out, how do I go and start a nonprofit?
Well, essentially, I never anticipated starting a nonprofit. I just thought of doing work myself. I just thought, well, how can I make an impact and make a difference myself? And then as I started working in this area and I started researching, I started noticing there was a whole host of things really really missing in the Central Valley. Unfortunately, the results showed that, obviously being one of the least educated regions of the nation, there was a tremendously low number of individuals that have a bachelor's degree or master's degree in that region. And primarily because a lot of times if you go through the public school system and you eventually go to college, whether it's the Bay Area, Los Angeles, Sacramento, generally a lot of those college graduates stay in those regions. They don't return back. So immediately I noticed, well, there's a need for mentorship opportunities. There's a need for that one-on-one mentoring with young college-educated professionals. So I started developing these sort of issues. Like, what are the issues we can tackle to help address this issue? And I started noticing, well, these issues are really going to require a much larger network and much more resources than I initially thought. So at that phase, I started thinking, well, maybe this is a bigger task or bigger goal, and I might need to look at forming some sort of organization. And at that stage, I just did a Google search, and it's such a, you know, we live in such an amazing time. You can Google almost anything. So I Googled the steps, and I started realizing, well, maybe a nonprofit designation or status would be something that would be beneficial to my endeavors. So a great resource, and this is actually what I used. I just went to Barnes & Noble and picked up Nolo's most recent edition of How to Form a Nonprofit in California. And it's a phenomenal resource guide, and I've really coupled that with my own legal training, as well as a whole host of resources available on Google that you can easily access. So I started just slowly but surely, again, on my free time, going about the steps that you need to take. So essentially, I filed paperwork with the California Secretary of State's office. So a great place to start is the California Secretary of State's website. They have a really useful and helpful steps for individuals who are interested in possibly forming a nonprofit. So the first step I took is I went to the Secretary of State's website, and I submitted paperwork to see if anybody had registered or used my name. And I also did a quick search via Google again to see if anybody had the name Inspire California. And then I did a quick search on the Secretary of State's website to see if anybody had registered that name, and nobody had. So then I filed initial paperwork to register that name. Also concurrently, I reached out to an intellectual property attorney, and I began the steps with him to see if I could secure that name for all future use. And so that was another concurrent step.
Trademark it or just to?
Yeah, so essentially I initially started discussions with him, and initially his initial recommendations were maybe it's too early in the process, but I definitely got everything I needed squared away with him so that in the event we start to grow and start to move, we can file that paperwork when necessary. So I knew at that point, if I was going to devote a lot of time and resources into this type of endeavor, I wanted to ensure that I had everything, all my I's dotted and T's crossed as far as moving forward, specifically when it came to intellectual property or any type of trademark we might establish. The next step is not necessarily a legal step. But then I started reaching out, looking at individuals who did website design as well as graphic and logo design. So our nonprofit could develop a logo and looked into possibly printing and all host of brochures and materials for our program.
If your domain name has been purchased by someone else.
Exactly. So that was another step. And as you can already start to assume, there's quite a lot of work you need to do essentially. But again, it's relatively easy because so much of it is easily accessible online, or there's a YouTube video almost on everything. So that was the initial groundwork that I started to develop.
Okay. I mean, were there any other resources? Obviously, we've talked about the Secretary of State's website, Google search, books at Barnes & Noble. What other resources are out there that helped you or that other folks could turn to help themselves along that process, going from all this initial just setup work to getting something that's implemented and rolling?
Well, another great resource, another self-help type of resource available is on the California Association of Nonprofits website. They have a really good checklist and a really good overview of some of the steps you'll need to take if you're interested in actually establishing a nonprofit in California. Also, there's always a whole host of legal professionals who are available to help. And I initially had looked into that possibility, but then, seeing that so many individuals had developed their own organizations on their own, and especially since I had gone to law school, I figured, well, this is something I probably can do myself. And if I get to a point where I'm going to need legal expertise, I'll reach out to specialists. And the case in point, when I decided to reach out to intellectual property specialists for at least an initial consultation.
Okay. So now you've got this going, what are some of the ongoing steps that you have to go through to keep that nonprofit status?
So definitely. And initially, too, there's a lot of sort of internal weighing and balancing you have to do as an individual who's thinking about moving your organization or informal association to that nonprofit designation. You have to really weigh the pros and cons. One of the biggest pros, that comes with having that designation is that you have IRS tax benefits. And that's obviously something that I think really drives most people to officially register with the Secretary of State and then the IRS, because you're going to have that special nonprofit designation for tax reporting reasons. But then there's also a whole host of paperwork you're going to need to fill out, and you're going to have to routinely reevaluate. So some of those issues or some of those things that you really need to be cognizant of are, one, you're going to have to file with the Secretary of State's office, and you're going to have to pay a yearly fee. Two,
is that a sizable amount, or is it?
It's relatively, it's not too bad. When weighing the benefits you get, it's really not. I think it's probably a good investment for most people that will pay dividends and returns.
Okay.
Especially when you start hosting like charitable events or you start asking for donations and sponsorships, it's really something that's going to be quite beneficial for you in the long run. And then there's reporting. Generally, nonprofits in almost every state have to develop a board of directors, and then you'll have to record your minutes, and you'll have to do a couple other things that sometimes some people find that's not quite worth their time because they're not at that stage yet in their development of their group or their association. So a lot of times some of those barriers are things that dissuade people from taking that next step, but that is something that you'll have to do on a yearly basis. You'll have to meet and record your minutes and then essentially keep those safely for in case you're audited or what have you.
Okay. So now that it sounds like for the most part you've gotten Inspire California up and running, and you've done a couple events so far. So what do you do at the events that you run with Inspire California?
Yeah, so that is obviously where the bulk of my time is. And again, initially laying that groundwork was very, very time consuming. So again, I had a mission objective, and that was to really help high school age students in the Central Valley, California Central Valley. Primarily, we really service a specific region of the state, right in the heart there, in my hometown, Hanford, California. We have held past events, and we actually have an event this weekend, December 10th, which I've been actually working on my free time. So that's something that has definitely been at the forefront of my mind recently. Generally, though, as you continue to lay that groundwork for your organization or your association prior to getting to that nonprofit status, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of just very busy stuff that you need to do depending on your objective and depending on what kind of outcomes you want to see. So for our organization, we had a very big aspirations, and I think that really goes to the organization, the people that we have a part of it. So at the initial stage of our planning, another time-consuming endeavor was I reached out to a whole host of college-educated young professionals who were also Central Valley natives, and that was probably one of the most time-consuming aspects of our program, speaking with those individuals on a one-to-one basis. So if I was in Los Angeles area, I was trying to meet with people who are former graduates of the Central Valley and now had very interesting professional careers. If I was in the Bay Area, I was doing the same thing. So that took months, as you can imagine, because I wanted to personally meet with these individuals and talk to them about the benefits of such a program and the benefits of their involvement. So the conclusion of that, very time-consuming period of time in our organization's history, we were able to recruit 15 college-educated young professionals who are from the Central Valley who are willing to volunteer their time to either come back as a special speaker for one of our programs, to serve as a mentor for high school-age students, or to serve in some other capacity and from a whole host of capacities of individuals who have been there to proofread personal statements and college essays, even from the Bay Area or Los Angeles. We just have students email them those materials and they'll take the time to proofread somebody's statement, or even meeting on the calls with students from wherever they may be at. So that was very time consuming, but it paid dividends when we had our first summer college workshop, which was last summer. We had a full week program. It entailed a whole host of special speakers who came down to the Central Valley. And it was really the focus I really wanted to highlight, because a lot of times I think the Central Valley is often neglected and forgotten. If you were born and raised in, like, say, the Sacramento region, there's a whole host of organizations or programs you can participate as a high school age student. When I was in the Central Valley and I was as a student, there wasn't a lot of opportunities mm-hmm. for internships, for a really meaningful work experience. I remember a lot of times I was working in the mall, or I was either volunteering at my local congressional or state representative's office. But other than that, there wasn't really a lot of meaningful experiences I could have over my summer vacation. So we tried to bring those experiences to the Valley, and this summer was a perfect example. We had a week-long program in July that consisted of Monday through Friday programming, 9:30 till roughly 2:30 each day. Each day we try to have three or four special speakers come in, and that's where the mentors really played a large role. A lot of the mentors came down and spoke to the students for 30 minutes and then opened up the table for conversation and dialogue, so students could ask them questions. A good example is my little sister. She served as a mentor, and she came down to speak one day. She's a registered nurse at Stanford Children's Hospital, so she took a day and a half off. She drove down. She spoke to the students about her career. She spoke to the students about exactly what it takes to be an RN and the experiences she's had, and then always, again, highlighting the fact that she could never have had this experience if she didn't have a college education. So the students were very interested in some of the things she has done, and she's truly lived a really interesting life. At one point, she served in 8 months as a missionary in Africa as a nurse, so she was able to show PowerPoint slides with pictures in Africa and serving a lot of these remote villages, and the kids were just really enthralled, and they had so many questions for her. And at the end of the week, we had a program evaluation, and by far she was one of the most interesting speakers in their opinion. But that's a good example. We also had our local representative, California Assembly Member Rudy Salas, come in and speak to the students really about civic engagement and the opportunities that they have, and he talked to them about his personal experience growing up in Bakersfield. And then at the conclusion of our program, we took a tour of the Fresno State campus and had Dr. Joseph Castro speak to the students for an hour roughly. And he could really appreciate the program's impact, because he himself came from the Central Valley as a native of Hanford himself. He was able to talk to the students about his journey. So roughly that's what our summer program looked like. We also offered a whole host of programming related to actually the college application process. We had Fresno State's admissions officers and recruiters come down and speak to the students, as well as Fresno Pacifics, and they were able to answer questions that students had about the application process, about financial aid, and as well as scholarships available to students. So it was a really very comprehensive, and it gave the students a lot of different perspectives and career perspectives. I spoke obviously myself about working in the legislature. We had other speakers who spoke about working in journalism, local news companies, and what have you. And we have a speaker coming up this Sunday, December 10th, who is also a Valley native, Amanda Renteria. She grew up in the Central Valley in a small migrant community of Wood Lake, and she rose to really become a pioneer in politics. She was the first Latina chief of staff in the United States Congress, and then she served as Hillary Clinton's national policy director for her presidential campaign. So we're really excited that she's going to be participating in this weekend program. And that's taken up a lot of my time, as you can imagine. This last week, I used a vacation day, go down to Hanford, and I spoke on the campus of many of the high schools, spoke to the government classes, AP government, as well as touch base with every single career counselor in the district, so to ensure that there was good, ample knowledge about the program that's coming up. So.
Fantastic. It sounds like you're doing a lot of great work.
Thank you.
Yeah. If people want to learn more about Inspire California, where can they find you?
So that's our next step. And I'm glad you brought that to our attention. Definitely our next step, and one of the next phases that we definitely want to start emphasizing, is a social media presence as well as an online presence. And that's what we're currently working to develop. Right now we're in the stage where we're about to get a website up and ready. One of the, we've had to hesitate a little bit because we're trying to get a lot of background information on the mentors, professional headshots for the mentors, as well as a really thorough and I think concise biography of them. So a lot of that takes a lot of time as far as back and forth between the mentors who are part of our network now, as well as then again wanting to get more student participation. So in fact, for our social media campaign, at the conclusion of our summer program, we had several students sign up to be Inspire California High School ambassadors. And again, we wanted to offer them meaningful experiences. So we have one of our high school ambassadors is going to be spearheading our social media campaign coming up.
Very cool.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, we really slowed down the pace so that we can make it a comfortable experience for high school students. I told her, you know, the last thing I want you to do is be stressing about your responsibilities and duties with our organization. So we'll take it one step at a time. So I've had her working to help promote this upcoming event. And then on the conclusion of this event and the conclusion of her finals and her college applications, then we're going to transition and really get her some meaningful experience behind operating and running a social media account so that she can, again, have meaningful experience to put on her college resumes. And once she gets to college, she'll have some, I think, really practical and hands-on experience in some of these areas which she's interested in. So we've really tried to tailor the students' experience to the interests and passions that they have. So this is something I think that, and then we spoke last time she and I spoke, she asked me, she's like, when I graduate, she's like, can I still participate in the program? I'm like, of course, yeah, we'd love to have you participate in the program. Actually, one of her schools that she's really interested in is University of Pacific in Stockton. One of the programs there is really high on her list that she wants to attend. So definitely in that sense, we want to continue to have our graduated students continue to get back and come back and speak to the program. So again, right now we're slowly transitioning, but definitely that's going to be the focus point moving forward. We definitely want to have a strong social media presence, whether Instagram, Facebook, and then an actual website where any individual can go to register online. But again, that's something we really want to focus and have students lead and drive. So again, it's taking a little bit slower than we would like, but I think it's going to offer a really rich and meaningful experience for the students. And once those students are now participating and able to, you know, share with their friends, add their friends on Instagram via our account, you know, disseminate information, I think it's going to be a much more effective method of that sort of that direct to our demographic group we're trying to touch. And specifically that's, you know, high school age students in Central Valley. So I think that's going to be more impactful than as opposed to maybe myself trying to run that and just allow them to do it. They're much more tech savvy and they're much more, I think, really hip to how to best disseminate information like that.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to us today, Aaron.
Oh, again, I really enjoy your guys' your programming. I like to listen to it on my commute. I find it meaningful and definitely very enlightening because there's so many issues that you guys touch on that even as a staffer in the legislature, you don't have the opportunity to read every report or look at every issue, but it's really nice to have a concise, you know, 30-minute or you know, 20-minute discussion on that topic, and you feel like, wow, I feel much more informed about that issue.
Well, thank you very much. And for those of you listening, there you have it in roughly 20 minutes or so. If you want to start a nonprofit, you've got the steps here. So thank you very much. And again, this has been a Policy Change in Practice edition of Cap Impact. Thank you so much for listening.